How many of you, that is that a new song? I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Okay, some of you, it's a newer song. It's a little less popular of a song, but I picked it when Pastor Todd asked, "Hey, you know, what song do you want to do?" I picked this one pretty quick because it's actually a favorite of mine. One, because it's connected to the Civil War, and I like the Civil War. But two, it actually connects both the joys of Christmas and the joys of God and Christianity to the struggles and worries and despair of life. And so that's why I picked this here this morning. And so before we get into I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to you today in your house and looking into your word and even into this Christmas carol and getting to know more about you and who you are and what you've done for us and how it affects us day in and day out. So, Lord, as we take this time to come to you, Lord, open up our hearts and our minds to your word and to who you are. Father, we just pray again for the kids program that is to follow. Lord, we just thank you for all the hard work that the kids put in, practicing, learning their lines, learning the songs, Lord. And so we just pray that you help everything to flow smoothly during that process and help it to be a blessing to us as well. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right. So as one popular songwriter wrote, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And Christmas really, truly is for many of us. Christmas is easy to love. I remember as a kid growing up, Christmas was certainly my favorite time of year. Like, first of all, you get like 2 weeks off of school. All right. So no school for 2 weeks, right? But then there were also things like the many different foods. Now, I grew up in this area, and if you grew up around your family and where your family grew up and your family's family grew up, you'll know this too. Christmas is really like trick-or-treating on steroids. Instead of going from house to house, getting one piece of candy and moving on, you basically go house to house and eat a full meal. And then after that, you would eat what's equivalent to a full meal of desserts, you know, if you came from our side of the family anyway. And then you'd probably get some gifts in a gift exchange or something like that. And then you'd move on to the next relative's house, right? And you'd go from house to house. And sometimes as a kid, you know, you weren't even sure. I don't even know how we're related to these people, but we're here. And as long as they can cook well and we get some sort of gift in the end, the kids are happy, right? And so that's one of the great things about Christmas. But it's not just the food. There's also the family. You know, and sometimes some of them only come out at Christmas time too, but that's not where I'm going with this. We live next door to my mom's parents. So my mom's parents lived next door to us growing up, and my dad's parents lived across the street growing up. All right, so we had a good time growing up. Every Christmas Day, we would spend time with both cousins from both sides of the family. All right, and so half the day you get to hang out with one side of the family, half the day you get to hang out with the other side of the family. Not only that, but there was also that the whole Christmas cookie thing too. Like, Christmas is great just because it has its own categories of cookies. Like, there's cookies that you make only this time of year, right? My mom makes these shortbread cookies only at Christmas time. All right. She also makes frosted sugar cookies only at Christmas time. And you can probably relate to your family. There's probably cookies that you only make at Christmas time. So Christmas is its own season. And there's so many things that makes it so wonderful. There's the food. There's the family. There's even the traditions. I remember growing up and we'd go to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve and we'd read through the Christmas story from Matthew and Luke. And then we'd sing some Christmas carols, and then my grandfather would sit down, and he had this book of poems from this favorite author that he loved, and he would read some of his favorite poems from that author. But growing up, Christmas truly was the most wonderful time of year, and in a sense, it still is. Now, as an parent and adult, there are added responsibilities of the planning and the preparation and the busyness that keeps you busy to no end all the way up to Christmas. But I would guess for probably most of us here, Christmas is an anticipated time of year full of joy and excitement, and it has been that way for a long time through history. In fact, our author today of our Christmas carol, he was no different. "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day" was originally a poem written by American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Longfellow was a child prodigy. All right. He began school at age 3. He was reading classical literature and writing poems by age 6. Any of you guys 6 years old writing poems? Okay. All right. By 19, he had graduated from college and was made a professor of modern language at Bowdoin College. At 22, he was writing his own textbooks and soon became a professor at the esteemed Harvard University. At only 27, Longfellow was already one of America's most respected scholars. All right, and our song today begins with these words: "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Longfellow, like many of us, enjoyed both the festivities and the events surrounding Christmas, as well as the deep meaning of the first Christmas when the angels announced to the shepherds a child was born to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. But with that said, the truth is that we live in a sin-cursed world full of sinful people, and we are sinners ourselves. And the truth be told, there are probably some in here that life has beaten you down. It has taken its toll on you. And in one way or another, Christmas, as much as you love it, does not feel like Christmas this year. Maybe it's because of your health. Maybe there's chronic health problems. Maybe there's an illness that won't go away. Or maybe there's constant bad news from the doctor, and that has made this Christmas a little less joyful. Or maybe it's the family part of Christmas. You know, those relatives are coming, and there's no stopping them, and there's going to be headbutting pretty much all day long, right? Whether it's politics, whether it's the economy, whether it's how to cook the turkey, you know, those relatives are coming, and you know there's going to be a fight. And you're almost praying for a Christmas Eve snowstorm, just so we can call the whole thing off, right? You know who you are. Or maybe it's just the overbusiness of the season, right? Extra work, all the shopping, all the planning, all the scheduling, all the running around, and the hit that it's going to take on your finances, and you just can't wait until the whole thing is over. Or maybe it's that there will be an empty seat at the table because a loved one has passed away. And Christmas won't be the same because every Christmas memory you have is connected to that person. And so celebrating without them will just make the holidays painful. Whatever the case may be, this year just doesn't feel like Christmas. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you are Ebenezer Scrooge or you're the Grinch. You know, that's a whole category in and of itself. You love Jesus. You love Christmas. You love seeing others, especially the kids, excited at Christmas time. But for you personally, due to the circumstances in life, this Christmas, and maybe many others in the past, just don't feel like Christmas. Now, if that is you, this Christmas carol is for you. Because as we will look at this song today and several passages of Scripture, that is the challenge we are going to face when Christmas doesn't feel like Christmas. Or, in a broader sense, when what I experience doesn't match what I believe. And so let's start with our songwriter, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was well known for his poetry and writing. Maybe many of you, if you've grown up and did any sort of American literature class, you would have heard of him. He was a well-known professor. He had a loving wife and family, he was a successful and influential man. But in 1861, tragedy struck when his wife died when her dress caught fire while attempting to light a candle. In an attempt to put out the fire, Longfellow was severely burned, and from that day forward, he grew a full beard to hide the scars on his face from being burned. On the heels of that personal tragedy, Of course, the American Civil War broke out, tearing the country apart. All right, soldiers who had fought together years earlier in the American War with Mexico found themselves on opposite sides of the battlefield. And not only that, but brother against brother found themselves on opposite sides of the battlefield, and even father against son. And Longfellow hated war, and he hated seeing the country divided, and he hated the uncertainty of America's future. To add to this, Longfellow's oldest son enlisted in the Union Army, despite his father's disapproval, and he went on and was severely injured in battle. And so as Longfellow went and collected his son from the hospital, brought him back home for a long recovery. That's where we find him as he writes these words. This is the third verse. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So the truth is, sometimes life is difficult and hard, and it can overwhelm us and lead us to despair. And as Longfellow writes, life itself seems to mock the very message the angels gave to the shepherds about peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But this is not just us. This is not just Longfellow. All right. This is reminiscent also of people, characters in the Bible. All right. David in Psalms cried out in Psalm 69:1-3. He said this, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." The difficult circumstances of David's life had him feeling like he was actually physically drowning. He also goes on to write in Psalm 102:4-5, "My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh." So even David, a man after God's own heart, went through seasons in his life, whether due to mistreatment by others, his own poor choices, or simply the reality of living in a fallen world, where despite his firm faith in God and God's promises, the pain, discouragement, and grief he encountered made him feel deeply burdensome. David was not alone. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations on the heels of the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. So God, through the prophet Jeremiah and other prophets, had warned Israel, step away from your sin, turn from your sin, come back to me, and I will forgive you. Otherwise, I will destroy the city. I will give you over to your enemies. All right, and so time and time again, the prophets prophesied to Israel saying, turn, turn, but they refused. And so God punished them by giving them over to the Babylonians, who destroyed Jerusalem and took many of the people captive, even those that were faithful to God. People like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Last week in our kids and teens Sunday schools, we talked through about Daniel and his friends and how they were taken to Babylon as teenagers. All right, taken from their home, taken to a pagan nation, where they would have to stand firm in their faith to God among quite the opposite culture. But after Jerusalem was destroyed, Jeremiah laments the destruction of God's people and the city. He says this in Lamentations, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She who was great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress." And so Jeremiah describes how this once beautiful city that was built to be a light to the nations and to point others toward God, a city where God had dwelled with his people, was now destroyed and reduced to only a memory of better days and more joyful times. And we could talk about numerous different figures in the Bible enduring painful and trying periods in their life. People like Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Paul. They all experienced seasons marked by deep sorrow, grief, and suffering that appeared to clash with their trust and faith in God. And so, like the biblical examples and the writer of our character, of the carol we're reflecting on today, you might be going through a season in your life where you can deeply relate to them, whether it's a recent hardship or one that has persisted for years. You understand the weight of their despair as the song expresses peace feels absent, and the pain and the struggle in your life seem to mock the very notion of a peaceful and merry Christmas. And so let me give you just a few words of encouragement from our carol and from God's word to help us during this Christmas season. So if that is you, or maybe you know somebody, this is something you could pass on to encourage them with. Let me give you a little bit of encouragement here. First off, we must cling to the truth of God's word. We must cling, we must hold fast to the truth of God's word. First of all, looking at the carol, the fourth verse says this. Oh, I don't have the fourth verse in there. All right. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it is there. All right. Then peal the bells. Sorry. More loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. God's word is there for us during our most trying times. It's not a book full of flowery sayings and positive thinking words. It was written for people who are in despair and who have lost their way, who have been abandoned by others. The Bible is God's book for people who are lost and hurting. When our circumstances and life bear down on us and move us to despair and pain, we must keep in mind the truth about God and his word. Longfellow here focuses on the truth that despite our circumstances, God is still there and he's still active. And in the end, as dire as the situation seems, God will have the victory. All right, looking back at Psalm 69, where we talked about David. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. And then also Psalm chapter 18, verse 46, he says, the Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. David reminds us that God does live. All right. God is living, even in the midst of despair and hardship. He's still there, and he is a shelter for everyone who runs to him. He is a trusted place of refuge and rescue. He is the God who saves his people. What about Jeremiah, though? Remember, Jeremiah had witnessed the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. All right, the Babylonians had come. They had destroyed it. They had scattered the people. They had destroyed God's temple, God's city. And after 2.5 chapters of describing the devastation and destruction of the city, he says this in Lamentations 3:21 and 23. Jeremiah says this, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah, after sharing his grief, his heartache over the destruction of this city, of Jerusalem, the lives that were destroyed, the emotional and physical pain and the suffering of God's people, the uncertainty of the future, he looks to God, and he does that, the certainty that he does know, that God's love does not cease. His mercy continues to come even in the hard times. And God is faithful all the way to the end. He doesn't abandon his people. So with our songwriter and David and Jeremiah, we must cling to the truth of God's word in difficult seasons of life. Not only that, but we must keep in mind the end of the story. We must keep in mind the end of the story. If we were to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, we see God created everything, and he created it good. All right, everything was perfect, just the way he wanted it. It was perfectly designed. It was perfectly made. It functioned perfectly. There was no suffering. There was no pain. There was no family dysfunction. There was no financial turmoil, no anxiety, no despair, and no death. But by chapter 3, everything goes wrong. Mankind sins by disobeying God's good instructions for his good world. And in that disobedience, that good creation became corrupted. And since that time, sin, suffering, pain, the family dysfunction, financial turmoil, anxiety, despair, and death have been a regular part of creation and a regular part of our lives. And worst of all, there is a separation between us and God. Our sin separates us from the good and holy God who created us. And on top of that, the right penalty for our sin is death, an eternal separation from God in hell. A pretty dire situation. And that is all of us, not just those of us who are in a difficult season of life, but that is the situation for all of us. But God was not willing to leave us in our sin. And so he sent Jesus, the one whose birth we are celebrating this Christmas season. And Jesus came to show us what it was like to live in a right relationship with God and ultimately to die in our place for our sins. And now, because of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sins and have a relationship with God and spend eternity with him rather than apart from him. And as amazing as all that is, there's still more to the end of the story. Remember that good and perfect creation in the very beginning of the Bible, where there was no suffering, no pain, no family dysfunction, no financial turmoil, no anxiety, no despair, no death. Listen to these verses from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the Apostle John. God gave him a glimpse, a vision of what the future, in other words, God's ultimate end, looks like. And in Revelation chapter 1, we see this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, preparing as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" God's ultimate end is to have creation back to where it was at the very beginning. There is no sin, no suffering, no death. The final verse of the carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," says this: "Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men." There will be times where we experience peace here on earth. The gospel of Jesus and the power of God are able to work in any of life's difficulties, whether it's with family, whether it's with our nation, whether it's with pain or with heartache. God can work through all those, in all those areas. He can mend all those relationships. He can heal our hurt and our pain. But ultimately, for those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will experience eternal peace from all suffering and all strife when we dwell with him for eternity in heaven. So as we reflect on this carol here today, it shares with us both the joys of Christmas and the real world struggle of living in a sinful world. And as we can glean from both the song and scripture, that our pain and our suffering can drive us to God and the promises he has given, and it can drive us to the story of Christmas where the angels heralded peace on earth, goodwill to men, and we can rest on his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And there should be no greater reminder of that this Christmas at Christmas time. That is why I enjoy this carol so much and why I wanted to share it with you here today. In this carol, the author gives us both the good and the bad of our struggle in this life. And it helps us to see, it helps me to see anyway, how even in the pain and the struggle and the suffering of life, it's important for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. When I was growing up, the church I went to, we had in our junior church, we had a man who would come and he would teach the Bible verse every day, every week. There was a different memory verse. And at the end of it, after we'd go through it, we'd go through the Bible verse multiple times till we learned the Bible verse. But at the very end, he had a saying. He said, "Keep your eyes on the cross and you'll have peace and joy every day of your life." And as a kid, you know, it's kind of like, okay, that's a nice little saying. But as I grow older and as I think back on that, there is great truth in remembering what God has done and who he is in all areas of our life that will help us to continue to push forward and look forward to the day where we will be with him in heaven. And so with this carol here today, as the bells ring this Christmas time and during Henry Wadsworth's time, they used to ring at midnight, which as a parent, I don't think I'd appreciate because it's kind of hard to, you know, your kids are up till like midnight anyway because they can't sleep. And then they're like up at like 3 a.m. Okay. So being, you know, having the bells ring at midnight, I don't think that works so well anymore. But that was what ushered in Christmas Day. That's what ushered reminded them, hey, today is Christmas. This is it. And they'd also have a lot of them would also have a midnight worship service. So I don't know if we want to talk about doing that. But anyway, but again, the bells on Christmas Day reminded him of the truth of the angels, that the angels brought that first Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And no matter what our circumstances in life, those bells can continue to ring true and remind us that whatever's going on in our life, there is something greater that God has for us, and God is doing something within us. And so with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close.